Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners. So we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear from Anna Mateo, John Russell, and Faith Perlow. Later, Katie Weaver and Ashley will present the next part in our series on America's national parks. But first, here is Anna Mateo.
Last month, a city in Pakistan became the hottest city on earth. On May 14th, in Jacobabad, temperatures hit 51 degrees Celsius. About 200,000 people live there. They understand well that they live in one of the hottest places on the planet. Pregnant women living there are especially likely to suffer under the extreme heat. Sonari, who is pregnant and in her 20s, works under the burning sun in a field of yellow melons. When the heat is coming and we're pregnant, we feel stressed, said Sonari. Sonari's 17-year-old neighbor, Wadiri, gave birth a few weeks ago. She is already back working in extreme heat. She places her newborn baby on a nearby blanket so she can feed him when he cries. Wadiri makes sure her baby is out of the hot sun. Sonari, Wadiri, and other pregnant women in southern Pakistan are living through the effects of climate change. Pregnant women living in extreme heat for long periods of time have a higher risk of suffering complications. That was the finding of an examination of 70 studies done on the issue in the past 25 years. For every 1 degree Celsius the temperature rises, the examination found, the number of stillbirths and premature deliveries increases by about 5%. The findings of the study analysis were published in the British Medical Journal in September 2020. The analysis was carried out by several research organizations worldwide. Cecilia Sorensen is director of the Global Consortium on Climate and Health Education at Columbia University in New York. She said the effects of climate change on the health of women are not fully examined or known. The heat, she added, is a super big deal for pregnant women. Experts say that women in poor countries are especially at risk to rising temperatures. Many have little choice but to work through their pregnancies and return to work soon after giving birth. Women in places like socially conservative Pakistan usually cook food for the family over hot stoves or open fires. They often do the cooking in small rooms with no fresh air or cooling devices. This adds to the heat risk. South Asia has suffered unseasonably hot temperatures in recent months. An extreme heat wave that hit Pakistan and India in April was 30 times more likely to happen due to climate change. That estimate is from scientists at World Weather Attribution, an international research organization. Experts there also say that worldwide temperatures have risen by about 1.2 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels. As temperatures continue to rise, extreme heat waves are only expected to increase. Humid weather brings more difficulties. Humid means having a lot of moisture in the air. The more humid it is, the harder it is for people to cool down by sweating. On May 14th, when the temperature in Jacobabad hit 51 degrees Celsius, a young mother named Nazia fell to the ground while making lunch for visiting cousins. Nazia was taken to a nearby hospital, but she did not survive. Doctors said her death was caused by a suspected heat stroke. Her kitchen had no cooling devices. In the melon fields, about 10 kilometers from the center of Jacobabad, Sonari and Wadiri work alongside other women. Several of them are also pregnant. They begin each workday at 6 in the morning. They have a short midday break before returning to the field to work until sundown. It feels like no one sees them, no one cares about them, aid worker Liza Khan said about the problems facing many women in Jacobabad. Khan's phone rings often as she drives to one of three heat stroke response centers. She helped set up the centers in recent weeks as part of her work with a nonprofit group called the Community Development Foundation. She returned to her hometown because she wanted to be a voice for women in the conservative area. "Nowadays, I'm working 24/7, said the 22-year-old. She added that her organization is finding the impact of extreme heat mixes more and more with other social and health issues affecting women. In one neighborhood in Jacobabad, a donkey-drawn cart brings water containers to people's homes. Most residents there depend on such water deliveries. They can cost between a fifth and an eighth of a family's total earnings. Still, the water deliveries often are not enough. Some families are forced to ration their water. Local officials said water shortages were partly due to electricity cuts. This means water cannot be cleaned and sent through pipes throughout the city. There are also severe water shortages across the Sindh area of Pakistan. A woman named Rubina cooks over an open fire. She said when she feels sick from the heat, she wants to use water to prevent herself from fainting. However, there is not always enough water to do so. Rubina said most of the time the water runs out before it's time to buy more. So she and her family must wait, she said. She closely watches as her children and grandchildren share a cup of water. On the hot days with no water, no electricity, we wake up and the only thing we do is pray to God. I'm Ana Mateo.
Scientists studying the Tarantula Nebula say they have gained a greater understanding of how stars form. The researchers also got a beautiful image of a large cloud of gas and dust that neighbors the Milky Way galaxy. Researchers recently said their observations offered information about the connection between two competing processes, gravity and feedback. Gravity is the force that drives star formation, while the competing process, known as feedback, refers to the huge amounts of energy that large young stars introduce into their nearby environments to limit star growth. The Tarantula Nebula is an area of stars, gas, and dust 600 light-years across. A light-year is the distance light travels in a year, about 9.5 trillion kilometers. The Tarantula Nebula's official name is 30 Doradus. It is about 170,000 light-years from Earth. It is called the Tarantula Nebula because its paths of gas, dust, and stars look like spider legs. The nebula's gas mixture is much like that of the early universe, mostly hydrogen and helium. The European Southern Observatory released a Tarantula Nebula image showing thin gas clouds that may be the remains of larger ones. Scientists think great bursts of energy from large young stars may have torn apart the gas clouds. Guido DeMarchi was a co-writer of the research published in the Astrophysical Journal and presented the work at a meeting of the American Astronomical Society. "We see stars forming where there is a lot of gas and dust available. And there is definitely a lot of it in the Tarantula Nebula," DeMarchi said. Researchers were helped by observations from the Chile-based ALMA telescope. DeMarchi explained that stars form when gas clouds collapse under their own gravity and the gas gets denser and denser. He added that these gas clouds contract and warm up until the core is hot enough to start the stellar engine, an immense nuclear reactor. Immense means extremely large. DeMarchi said that scientists used to believe that when very large stars, those 100 times bigger than the Sun, begin to form, they release so much energy that they shut off the fuel for more stars to form. DeMarchi added, "The beautiful observations of the Tarantula Nebula obtained with ALMA now show that where the gas is dense enough, it continues to fall, and new stars can keep forming. This is interesting and new." The process DeMarchi talked about is called feedback, in which large young stars release large amounts of energy in the form of photons and high-speed particles. The nebula's composition has led to the creation of particularly large stars, some 200 times as massive as our Sun. Tony Wong, the lead writer of the report, said Tarantula Nebula is the most extreme feedback environment scientists can observe. "One of the big mysteries in astronomy is why we are still able to witness stars forming today," Wong said. He continued, "Observations with ALMA can shine a light on what is happening deep within clouds and help us understand how gravity and feedback compete for influence to keep the rate of star formation under control." I'm John Russell.
In 2007, scientists at West Virginia University first identified an unusual intense burst of radio waves from space. Since then, these fast radio bursts, or FRBs, have been a mystery to astronomers. They only knew that FRBs are pulses of radio waves, and that FRBs come from places within our galaxy, the Milky Way, and other galaxies. Recently, though, researchers identified an FRB that was first found in 2019 with the world's largest single-dish radio telescope, called FAST. It is in the Guizhou province in China. The FRB was studied more using the VLA telescope in the state of New Mexico, in the U.S. The FRB is in a very small galaxy, which is almost 3 billion light years from Earth. A light year is the distance light travels in 1 year. Scientists believe that extreme objects may release these fast radio bursts. These objects could include unusual kinds of stars, such as a neutron star. A neutron star is the center of a large star at the end of its life cycle that explodes as a supernova. Another is a magnetar, which is a neutron star with a very strong magnetic field. And another possible cause of an FRB is a black hole eating a nearby star. Casey Law is an astronomer at the California Institute of Technology. He was co-writer of a recent study of the 2019 FRB that was published in Nature. He said FRBs are quick flashes of radio energy that turn on and off for only a millisecond. They can be observed across the universe. Some objects produce a storm of repeated FRBs, and some only burst once. The 2019 FRB repeats. Weaker radio signals continue between the bursts, so it appears to be always on. Most known FRBs, nearly 500 of them, do not repeat. Astronomers think that the FRB described in the Nature study is only in the beginning of its life. It is still surrounded by thick material from the supernova explosion that created a neutron star. The scientists suspect that the repeating bursts come from younger FRBs. Dee Lee is the chief FAST telescope scientist and with the Chinese Academy of Sciences in Beijing. He co-wrote the Nature study. He said, "We still call fast radio bursts a cosmic mystery, and rightfully so. Although FRBs are still not completely understood, the new repeating FRB may help scientists discover the cause of radio bursts. Years ago, scientists faced a similar mystery with gamma ray bursts. These events are now believed to result from the death of very large stars, or from neutron stars, or magnetars joining to form a black hole. But researchers have a lot more to learn about FRBs. We know more and more about the phenomenon, where the sources live, how often they burst. However, we are still chasing for that golden measurement that will give us a definitive answer to what causes them, Law said. I'm Faith Perlow.
On our national parks journey, we travel to the southwestern state of Arizona. There, we find a strange and colorful landscape. Yellow, red, and even purple rocks and sand cover the hilly earth. Huge pieces of ancient trees twist in unusual ways. The area is the only national park that includes a part of the historic U.S. Route 66. Welcome to the Petrified Forest National Park.
The word forest may mislead visitors. The park is in a desert. And the word petrified, which can mean afraid, may scare visitors away. But fear not. Petrified Forest gets its name from the trees that have, over millions of years, turned to stone. That natural process is called fossilization. Much of the Petrified Forest formed from tall trees called conifers. They grew over 200 million years ago near waterways. During floods, water forced the trees up from the ground. Over time, the wood from the trees became petrified.
The Petrified Forest National Park is one of the wonders of Arizona. It sits within the Painted Desert. A Spanish explorer in the 1500s gave the place its name. It is easy to see why. The desert looks like an artist's canvas. Brilliantly colored mudstones and clays cover the land as far as the eye can see. They contain bentonite, a clay that is the product of changed volcanic ash. The oldest geological formations in the park are about 227 million years old. Differently colored formations show different time periods. The Blue Mesa formations, for example, have thick bands of gray, purple, blue, and green mudstones. They are about 220 million years old.
Evidence of humans in the Petrified Forest dates back 13,000 years. People first came here after the last ice age. Early Paleo-Indian groups used the petrified wood to create different kinds of stone tools. They used them to hunt large animals. The climate warmed over several thousand years. Humans began building villages here and growing food, such as corn, squash, and beans. In the 900s, people in the area began building above-ground houses called pueblos. They also made pottery for cooking and other uses. Scientists today find evidence of early pottery and Pueblo homes all over Petrified Forest National Park.
A long and severe drought in the early 1400s forced most of the people living here to move. But new groups soon arrived. European explorers came in the 1500s. By the 1800s, American pioneers began settling in the area. And by the 1920s, American motorists were traveling on U.S. Route 66. The road winds through the heart of the Painted Desert. Long before humans entered the area, though, dinosaurs dominated. Petrified Forest National Park is a world-class area for fossil research. The fossil record at the park preserves some of the earliest dinosaurs. The dinosaur fossils are from the late Triassic period, called the Dawn of the Dinosaurs. They help scientists reconstruct ancient environments.
The land here was set aside as a national monument in 1906. Congress moved to protect it because of its unique ecosystem, record of human history, and dramatic southwestern scenery. It became a national park in 1962. More than 800,000 people visit the Petrified Forest National Park each year. The best way to explore the park is by foot. The National Park Service maintains many kilometers of walking trails. The Crystal Forest Trail is a 1 kilometer path. It is named for the crystals that can be seen on the pieces of petrified wood. The trail is one of the best chances to see this fossilized wood up close.
The Petrified Forest includes many shapes and sizes of wood. From large logs to stumps to the smallest remains of plants. Most of the petrified wood found in the park is made up of quartz. Quartz is a hard, colorless mineral. The wood sometimes shines in the sunlight as if covered by glitter.
The Painted Desert Rim Trail offers visitors a good chance to see the park's wildlife. Lizards and rabbits are common. So are snakes and foxes. Early morning or evening are the best times to see animals. These are also the times when the sun makes the Painted Desert the most colorful and spectacular. But whenever you choose to visit, the Petrified Forest and Painted Desert will awaken your senses and your curiosity about this ancient place. I'm Katie Weaver.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.